The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimonies. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's visit.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, April D. Metzler, and here today on the Declaring War segment, we are going to be diving into John chapter 20. So if you hadn't tuned into John chapter 19 or any of the book of John, you're more than welcome to go back and catch the replay. There's a playlist on my YouTube channel. You can find me just by typing youtube.com/@ April D. Metzler. So that's where you can connect and subscribe and get all of the content that I do for streaming. Typically everything is duplicated over on there, and so I try to make it as accessible as possible, and YouTube has this awesome, lovely playlist feature that is fantastic. So I like it when you can organize things, don't you? But we are going to be diving into this. And of course, for you podcast playing folks, the ones who listen to podcasts, the audio edition, you guys can find this on any streaming platform just by searching for the RSVP show. So I am going to be delving into the scripture today, and we're going to be talking about this. You guys, like, we went through in 19 the journey as far as what John has described and illustrated through his writings, what it meant for Jesus to get hit, you know, get betrayed and go through the process of the crucifixion and all that jazz in the last couple of chapters that we've looked at. And so we're diving into what happened after he was put in the tomb. And so for all you folks who are, how do you say this? For all you folks who haven't gotten past the cross part, like you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and but you haven't really figured out what that looks like in action, and some of the things are in your life haven't really had an opportunity to be unpacked, this would be the steps that were taken after the cross. Like, so often I hear testimony after testimony of, you know, His goodness about, you know, how much He loves you, and you've connected the dot, like you're excited and you're on fire, and then it's like, but what now? Like, what now? And so this is definitely an interesting thing to talk about in this chapter. And so as we read it, I hope that you are ministered to in ways that may be new and different to you, but are definitely familiar by the Spirit. So you'll recognize those things for sure. But let's get into this without, you know, going too deep here so quickly. In John chapter 20. So let's go ahead and pray first, and we'll bless this broadcast. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time before You. We thank You for Your Word. We honor You in this moment to seek Your wisdom and guidance in these matters set forth in this entire chapter of John. We ask that You lead us through by the power of Holy Spirit that dwells within us and abides with us always. Just pour in this extra understanding. I ask that You provide every single listener on this broadcast and who may catch the replay with that spiritual wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of God through these passages. What does it look like, Father, for us to be be in this moment with Jesus, to identify with Jesus through these steps after the cross, Father. I ask that you just bless every listener with this extra wisdom. You said that if we ask for wisdom, that if anybody is in need of wisdom, if we ask for wisdom, that it will be given to us liberally. That's without restriction. It's abundantly, Father. And so we ask that for every person on this broadcast that tunes into this and sees this and hears your word, Father. You said that your word doesn't return to you void, but it accomplishes that which it was sent for to do. And you describe it like it's rain on a dry desert ground, that's just no moisture whatsoever. And this rain, I just picture this rain coming down and soothing the ground, the very ground itself, down to the root, down to the depths, and just soaks in. It's a long soaking rain, Father, and I just bless your name for that. I give you all honor and praise, and we do. We agree in this. We give you all honor and praise, Father, and it's always going to be to honor you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it'll be always through the power that dwells within us, that knowledge and wisdom that is given to us by the Spirit. And we walk in this by Spirit and by truth, Father. And that's how we operate, in such a way that we give you all honor and worship, Father. We thank you for that understanding, and we just bless your name in this moment and always, and ask these things in the name of Jesus, knowing that when we ask them in his name, that these things will be done unto us, so that you, Father, are glorified through your Son. And we give our yes and amen in full agreement, because we consider it done. We consider it done. Consider it in the depths of our souls done. So John chapter 20 is starting out. And it gives me, in my study Bible, for y'all I'm reading now, the NASB, for y'all that don't know and who are tuning in for the first time here, make sure to get your study pad and pencil or pen, or at least your memo pad or something for your phone, pulled up, so you can, you know, whatever comes up by the Spirit, whatever sticks out to you, I encourage you to study on it further. But the cross references for John chapter 20 here is Matthew 28, 1 through 8, Mark 16, 1 through 8, and Luke 24, 1 through 12. And so that's Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24 for your cross-reference on this, okay, you guys? So it begins in verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrapping lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes." And so, let's see here. 1 second. So here we are, we're seeing, this is John 20, and it's verses 1 through 10 that we just read over the airwaves here. And we're seeing a running to the scene. It's almost a running to prove something, right? So Mary's, of course, telling them that this is going on, but they have to see it for themselves, right? She ran and delivered this message, Mary Magdalene, and she was just, you know, like, oh my goodness, they've taken him away. And so we also see an assumption of an explanation for Jesus's disappearance. And so we're looking at the understanding part of it. You know, Mary's over here applying her natural understanding of these things. And then the disciples are like, okay, I got to physically see this of what she's speaking of. And then we'll figure out something. And so there's a lot of natural interpretation, like worldly thought processes coming from everybody that was close to Jesus, who literally walked with him, trying to rationalize what's going on. And it's almost like maybe they had forgotten the things that were taught to them. You know, he says, no one has the power to take my life and, you know, or lay it down. I lay it down myself. I choose to do that. This is the Father's will, da, 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 da. You know, like there's a whole thing that where he's talking to them about this, or they are witnessing him talking about this. And yet here we are when it actually happens, when it actually comes to fruition, they don't know how to wrap their mind around it. And they're still trying to reason through this whole experience here of the empty tomb. They're trying to reason it into some type of analytical or maybe natural thought process. Well, again, none of this is that is going on is of the natural. And it literally says in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And so it's very interesting, though, like they had advanced information here too. You know, Jesus was talking to them. Let's see here. He had foretold his resurrection. Looks like John chapter 2 is where we covered that. It's also in Matthew 16, Mark 8, 9, and Luke 9. So you guys can jog back over there to check that out. And then as far as this particular passage is concerned, you can go over to Matthew 16, 22 and Luke 9, 44 and 45 specifically about how they did not accept it. But there was an old, you know, Testament prediction of the Messiah's resurrection, obviously foretold, you know, long ago by the Old Testament prophets. And so, you know, when we talk about these things, it's like, are we believing, you know, what is written here? Let's fast forward to our time, right? Like, are we believing what is written here and actually applying it and walking it out, or are we walking it out in a way that is limited by our own personal grasp of understanding these things, right? And so it's almost like when we get before the Lord, when we read these scriptures, you know, are we doing that due diligence of Father? You know, like we ask him, Father, like whatever it is that you intended in these passages, I ask for that interpretation, not to understand it within my own relevance, but to understand it deeply as it was initially intended. Like, teach me by the Spirit. Teach my inner man what all of this says. What, you know, get it deep down in my bones to comprehend this. Walk me through this, Holy Spirit. You know, are we asking those petitions when we sit down and read the Word? Or has it become this repetitious thing that we do out of habit? You know, I don't know who that might be for, but let's if that is the case, let's just make that slight pivot, that slight realignment, and really shift into that, like, complete submission of being 100,000% teachable, like, beyond our own comprehension teachable, so that we're, when things happen that are beyond our understanding, like this, like the empty tomb, that we're not trying to grasp for straws to make it make sense. We're just going, we're just doing, we're accepting, receiving, believing, excited, and praising him, and just walking this stuff out, you know, especially when it's something that the Lord has already put on your heart that he's going to be, you know, in operation through you, like the giftings and the talents and the skills that he's already equipped you with. And he's saying, you know, in your time with him, he's already put it on your heart that you're going to be doing this, that, or the other in this next season. Okay, well, okay, I'm going to walk this out because God said, you know, he already told me, he's already ministered to my heart through Holy Spirit and said that this is the burden that I'm supposed to operate in. You know, it's, and I say burden very loosely. It's not something that's heavy. It's going to be light, obviously, but there's a heavy impression on our heart. That's what I mean by burden, a heavy impression on our heart to do something about something. So it's more than likely going to meet a need of the body of Christ specifically, or it's going to meet a need of the lost. Anyways, moving forward with verse 11, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." So I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So this is verse 11 through 18. And it's definitely interesting, the picture that we see here of Mary. She's getting clarity on the circumstance, you know, slowly but surely here. She's getting clarity on what the situation truly is versus what she perceived and understood that it was. But it's taking a minute for her to get there. And so she's reasoning this out. She's struggling with what she's seeing in the natural versus what is very apparently right in her face, with literally being able to see two angels on a spiritual aspect of it. And so we see her actually looking at things naturally, but literally having spiritual sight in this moment to actually see angels in this moment. And so it's being revealed to her, like the truth of the matter is being revealed to her, but it's taking a minute, and it's, you know, it's coming there, it's getting there, but it's taking a minute. And that's what, you know, what a good example of what it looks like when we walk in this, learning how to identify with Christ through the resurrection process that he went through. We have to take our own understanding of this life as we know it when we first accept Jesus, you know, as our Savior. There is a reckoning of sorts, a reasoning of sorts that we have to walk through to wrap our mind around what is going on as we, what it says, you know, we die to self. Okay, well, what does that mean? We were resurrected with him. Well, what does that mean? You know, so there's a connection piece here that Mary was struggling with, and she was saddened at her perception of what was physically lost. Okay. And then her weeping is questioned by the angels and by Jesus. And so it was a misplaced grief and sadness is what it amounts to in this instance, you know, in the application piece of this. And so how often do we grieve for the loss of our past in one way, shape, or form, and not realizing, not connecting what kind of glory God has for us if we would just let that go. And so there's some things in life that we'll have to reconcile in that way, like past hurts and pains and different things that we've experienced are going to need to be released in order for us to let go of those things, to see for the newness to be revealed, for this understanding to be grasped properly, so that we can literally say, okay, this is old self, this is old life, and here's the actual reality I exist in now as a child of God, because Jesus gives me that access to become his child, right? And so through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed, we are made new, we are complete in him. But what does that really look like to go through from the cross? We go from the cross, like, okay, we chose to, you know, Jesus is our Savior. We chose to put this old life down. We chose to put all of it. Some people even demonstrated at church where they like take a hammer and little post-it notes or papers or whatever, and they've got this actual wooden cross up there, and they'll demonstrate it. I've seen preachers demonstrate this, where you get to hammer your old sins or old past things that you want to do away with and hammer them up on a physical cross and do a like a symbolic release of those things, where you're laying it down, right? You're giving it to God, and you're connecting that dot in the physical, and you're seeing yourself say, I don't want this anymore, right? It's a great demonstration of what we're doing internally, but if you stay there and you're hanging around and you're constantly like looking at everything that you stuck on that cross, then you forgot the rest of the process. The rest of the process is okay, you identified with that part, right? You understood that part, that Jesus gave your sin, you know, he died for your sins, and he took that weight off of us. But what about the rest of it? Wasn't there like a whole process here? And so let's not get stuck at the cross is what we can find out here. And that's what Mary is doing here. She's just stuck in this grief of sadness and is missing out on the victory that comes after. Because we've got other, he said he's got other stuff to do, right? He's like, he said, where's it at? There we go. So she still hasn't even recognized him yet either. And how often do we not recognize who we are in Christ, because we are stuck like Mary is? Like, we haven't even connected the dots on the identification, what our identity is in this newness that we were offered as children of God. We're just here. We're just going around in circles as Jesus, you know, has saved us. But we don't even know what to do with ourselves, you know, as these new children of God. And so, hold on a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't apologize. There is a disruption, and I thank you for understanding. I left my ringer on, and my husband just got off work, and he's calling me like he always does every day. So he must have forgotten on the time frame of me going on a live, but that's okay. I'll call him back. So I see Reverend Diane, she's coming in. Hey sis, how are you doing? Good afternoon to you as well. So you guys, I just want to make sure that we're grasping what Mary is going through and how symbolic it is to our actual lives. I just see it so often in the body where people are stuck at the cross. And so Jesus says in 17, he said to her, literally, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And even this, just even in that brief conversation here before she takes off and goes and does what he says, and she actually realizes it is him and the clarity is there, it's almost, let's talk about that for just 1 second and then I'll read the rest of this here. But there's a veil that needs to be removed in order for us to see ourselves as God sees us. And that is a process that we go through. And even in this, he says to stop clinging to me. But in this instance, the me that she was clinging to is literally the in-person flesh that as he was walking with them, right? That's who she experienced. She experienced Jesus in the flesh, the Son of Man. And so quit clinging to me as my old body, like quit clinging to me. And it's almost resonant to our souls. Like, let's question this. And are we clinging to that which we were before we met Jesus? You know, the old body, the old self. Are we clinging to that like Mary did when she was clinging to Jesus as she knew him? Or are we understanding that there's another step that needs to be taken beyond the cross? Because it says, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. So he's like, there's still more steps in this process of understanding who I am in fullness, for you to understand who I am in fullness. But as soon as you understand who I am in fullness, you get to know me in fullness as the ascended one seated in heavenly places with my Father. Then you will understand more of who you are as well. And so I'm doing these things for you. He it says in scripture that he continues to intercede on our behalf as to where he is. He is the high priest, right? And he is our intercessor on high. And so there's things still yet to do, but he says go to, again, he identifies directly. He's like, go to my brethren, right? Those of that are mine, and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. So it's like it's a immediate connection. Like, you're a child of God. Make sure that they understand that they are children of God. He's my Father and he's your Father. He's my God and he's your God. Like, connect these dots, little children, right? And so she relayed what he said. Whether they grasped it or not, we'll see. So 19, it says, I'm on 28 minutes, you guys. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So it required them actually seeing physically to comprehend. And then 21 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so this is 26. It says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, and the doors having been shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so, Thomas does get a bad rap, and I'm not going to even go there because I don't know how many times people have preached on Thomas and thrown him under the bus. I have a different take on that, and I've talked about it on past broadcasts, but we're not going to do that here, just with the confinement of time here, the shortness of time in the physical. But really, it's an understood. See all these steps, that we're talking about? I mean, Jesus presented himself, right, so that they would believe. And then he immediately did a handoff, if you will, to Holy Spirit in that moment. But it required what? It required them to believe, and it required them to receive. And so we have two major facets here. That we have to understand, like, beyond the cross, what have we believed and what have we received about Jesus as far as who he is and who we are through him. Like, what have we really believed? What have we really received in that? Because if we are in that bucket of being stuck at the cross, then there's a whole other level of understanding that we can get to, that we are capable of getting to, because Holy Spirit dwells in us and abides with us always. And so that is, of course, only if you have believed and received Holy Spirit. So the question becomes, what do you believe beyond Jesus dying for you on the cross? Because there's a lot more steps that Jesus did after he left that tomb. But the fact is that he left the tomb. So what is required of us in the belief department to wrap our minds around, comprehend, understand, like actually be there in that moment with Mary and the disciples that were mentioned? Like actually put yourself in that moment and ask yourself, would you believe? And would you believe beyond the grave what transpired? Because in Scripture, if we don't believe beyond that, then we don't believe that we were resurrected with him, is how Scripture says it, and that we rose up with him, like we are seated with him in heavenly places, and he is seated far above, right? God put him far above every name that is named. Where is Jesus now? How do you perceive this? How do you understand this? And how have you applied it to your identity in him? Not your identity of the world that your life experience has provided to you up until the point that you met him at the cross and he met you where you were at and he gave you the grace and poured that love into that moment where you accepted him as your Savior. But what do you believe beyond that moment in your life? So that's what I pulled from John 20 today. So there's that. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Jody, hey sis, thank you for tuning in as well. We just wrapped up John chapter 20. If you want, you can go back and catch the replay on this. But yeah, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I've read this many times, and that's, every time there's another layer that gets undone. It's like a never-ending onion, you guys. Scripture. It is. It's like a never-ending onion. You peel back a little bit of that skin, and then there's another layer, and then another layer. Like, but it is never-ending. Which is good, because that just keeps us in that understanding that there's always more to learn in him. And so I definitely, hopefully you haven't received this in a way that's like, oh, well, I know all I need to know. Jesus is my Savior. That's it. I'm good. Okay. I pray that that is not the case, because there is so much more to learn about who you are and your true purpose on this earth at this particular time, in this particular moment. God Almighty, before time even began, he already had you in mind, and it was intentional, and it was strategic, and it was literally for this time, over thousands of years, for this particular time. So, yeah, there's more to it than just the cross. All right, you guys. Well, we will talk, obviously. There's so much power in the cross, so don't, that's a whole other preaching, but that's not what we got out of John 20. There is a power and victory through what he accomplished on the cross, and he is victorious, but he's in heavenly places. So, all right, you guys, have a blessed day. Know that God loves you, and you are not alone. And all of this newness in him, this fullness of identity in Christ, of the God who fills all in all, is just one conversation away by the Holy Spirit. So, alrighty.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Alsip, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.